Hello and welcome to Changing the Record, the podcast brought to you by the Talking About My Generation news team, who are setting the record straight on growing older in Greater Manchester.
Hello everyone, this is Pauline Smith. I'm a community reporter for Talking About My Generation and I'm also a member of Pride in Edging. And today I'm interviewing Mindy Melial about her recent experience of having a stroke, her recovery, her treatment, the whole shooting match. And over to you, Mindy.
Hi, my name's Mindy, and at the beginning of May this year, I had a stroke. This was completely out of the blue. I was sat on the bus off to go to a concert, and the next thing I knew, I can hear the sirens and a young man's voice saying, "Mindy, you've had a stroke." And I'm thinking, that can't be right. That's not my kind of thing. I'm not the kind of person that has a stroke.
Did you have any warning signs, Mindy?
Well, actually, in retrospect, yes, I did. I thought that what I'd done was trapped a nerve in my neck, and that was why I had pins and needles in my left arm and why my left hand grip wasn't right and I couldn't get a crisp out of a packet because my fingers weren't working. And I was a bit concerned and I didn't want to just go for physio, so I made an appointment to see the nurse at my GP practice to get it checked out as to what was going on. But events took place faster than that and I had the stroke before I actually got to see the nurse.
I suppose the real context is, you know, where did it happen? And for you, what difference did it make having Linda with you?
Well, I mean, as I've already said, we were on the bus, we were on our way into town. Now, the fact that there was somebody sat next to me who noticed at the point at which I dropped the newspaper that I was doing the crossword in and I was unresponsive, and she immediately told the bus driver pulled over, the bus driver got the ambulance, and I got treated really, really quickly. Now, if I'd have been sat on my own on the bus, how fast would somebody have noticed? That isn't a comfortable thought, let alone what if I was in my house on my own, or like someone else that I've met recently who was driving when it happened. Luckily, they felt really ill and began to pull over and slow down because they were on a motorway. So I was really, really lucky that I was with somebody. And I remember that in the ambulance, I could hear Linda telling the ambulance crew who I was. I wasn't just some useless little old lady who was having a stroke. She told them about how active I was, all the things that I did. And that was actually really encouraging, just laying there, knowing that I was being treated like me and not just a somebody.
Thank you, Mindy. What difference do you think did the fast reaction of the healthcare professionals make to you?
Oh, it was absolutely essential. The stroke happened at about 3:10. By 4:05, Linda was sat in the relatives' room at Salford Royal and I was being treated. And especially with strokes and heart attacks, there are things that if you can have them done fast, your outcomes are way, way better. I came round and the doctor that was treating me explained about the thrombolysing treatment because I had to give consent for it. But they'd already done a CT scan because you can't have thrombolysing treatment if it's a brain bleed. So there are things that they have to know before they can do anything. But I was being treated within the hour. The other thing is, because I knew a bit about strokes and I knew a bit about neuroplasticity and how the brain functions, when I was in the ambulance, I was sticking my arm in the air and wiggling my fingers about, trying to think, right, neuroplasticity, get things working now. I mean, the fact that my forearm just kept falling over and hitting me in the face was kind of ridiculous. But I knew I had to get onto it straight away.
Good question. So, Mindy, what difference did being a relatively fit person make to your recovery? And also, what kind of thoughts were going through your head as you were thinking about your recovery and what you would be able to do after?
Well, being relatively fit and healthy and optimistic is, like, I think it's the best way to start on anything. As regards how I thought about it at the time, I was aware that I was being quite odd because I wasn't upset. I'm laid there in a hospital bed. I'm aware that my left arm isn't really under my control properly anymore, or at the moment. And I felt remarkably calm. Now, I don't know whether that's the case of your brain just protects you from panic, or whether the fact that for about 8 or 9 years now, I've been doing daily meditation practice, which really encourages you to accept today as it is, rather than thinking about how you want it to be, how it ought to be, how it should be, because that doesn't help. So I don't know which it is, but I lay there and I kind of plodded through my diary in my head thinking, oh right, maybe I won't be able to drive anymore. And maybe I won't be able to get on an aeroplane again. And maybe I won't be able to dance again. And maybe I won't be able to go on foreign trips again. And it was at that kind of level thinking about it. And I'm thinking, oh, tomorrow I should have been through at Tameside Arts doing interviews for new staff. Well, I'm not going to get to that, am I? And it was all very matter of fact in a way that I think is kind of odd. I've had very few tears about it. The next morning, I did kind of sit in my hospital bed and have a bit of a wibble to myself. And it wasn't till a month later, when I was on a dance residential, where I was with my good, trusted dance colleague, Anne, who is a somatic dance teacher, and we were doing stuff about sensation and being in the body, when I realised that for that month, it had felt like my body was like a derelict building and I was just crouched in one corner of it. And when I realised that's how it felt, I absolutely cried and cried and cried. And I was very glad to have those tears. That really helped.
You talked about your dancing. Do you think you could sort of recall what happened?
Oh yes, this was a really, really important bit of my recovery journey. 4 weeks after my stroke, 1 week after my surgery, I performed again for the first time. I danced to a very gentle piece of music, not my usual high energy style, but the bliss I felt, the absolute joy of being alive was it was a magical moment for me. Those few minutes of dancing, of expressing, of sharing, of being in a community of people that I've known for a long time, and just really getting back to what I love, back to being me. That's what it felt like, was I reclaimed me. If I hadn't have been able to dance then, that would have been tough. And at the point when I went on to when I walked onto the performance area ready to dance, I didn't know if I could do the whole song. I didn't know if I would have to walk off partway through. I had no idea. But I did it, and it felt amazing. And I'm very, very grateful that I already had things in my life worth fighting for.
Thank you for those thoughts, Mindy. Very emotional. And I'm doing the interviewing. And this is really the final question. Now that you're recovered, even if it's not fully, what are your plans for the future?
Well, it turns out that you're never totally done. I'm still having tests and things. My plan for the future is to embrace life. My plan for the future is to dance, to perform, to travel, to learn, to engage with the world, and things like being part of Pride in Ageing, part of the housing project, the gardening project, doing things like this. It's really important that if we have something that we feel is of worth to share, we should share it. life is a precious asset. And if we have anything to share, that's what we should do. My love of dance is the thing that keeps me going. I mean, I had 4 fractured vertebrae. I've got arthritis in my spine, but I don't think many people that watch me dance would know that. I've got all, you know, and I've got all kinds of strategies for the recovery. From the point when I realised that the stroke had affected my left hand, and I'm left-handed, so it really mattered, I began working on doing all the different coordination things that you can do. And if this was a video, you'd see that I'm wiggling my fingers, moving them independently, doing all kinds of things, because I know that having full manual dexterity, full strength, stamina, all of that really matters. I got the physio from the occupational therapist, and I do it religiously. If you have any health challenge and you get an occupational therapist or a physio telling you what to do, do it. And if they say do it once a day, seriously consider doing it twice. I've seen people that have had physio offered and not used it, and you can tell, because they don't get the mobility back, they don't get the balance back, they don't get the strength back. And when you get into your 70s, like me, you don't need to fall over and break a hip, because that is just miserable. You want to keep on doing everything that you can to improve your heart health, to keep learning, to keep engaged with the world, because this is as good as it gets.
Thank you, Mindy. That was magical.
Thank you for listening to our latest edition of the Changing the Record podcast. For all previous episodes and for the latest news, views and nostalgia for Greater Manchester, check out our website talkingaboutmygeneration.co.uk.